Throughout the Gospels, Jesus uses several different means of instruction or teaching. If you just even get rid of the content of what Jesus says, the way he teaches his disciples, the way he preaches to the crowds, is just absolutely brilliant. And one of the ways he primarily preaches and teaches throughout this section of the Gospel of Matthew is he preaches through something called parables. You've heard that term many times, I'm sure. And a parable is a story or an analogy about one thing that is meant to teach a deeper lesson below the surface. And we even do this in our own lives today. I mean, how many of you have told your children or heard when you were growing up the story of like the tortoise and the hare? Your parents weren't trying to teach you about like young animal or young critters racing each other. They were trying to teach you a lesson about the power of resolve and consistency. Or maybe you heard we hear the story like today, the parable of the seed and the sower. Jesus isn't trying to teach them about farming. He's not giving gardening advice. You know, when Jesus tells us the parable of putting new wine into new wineskins, he's not giving people tips on how to make wine at home. There's a deeper message that's always below the surface. And oftentimes, as a priest, our job is we pray with the readings, we reflect on them, we study them to really get the depth of, all right, Jesus, what is the deeper nugget that you're trying to teach below the surface? What is the deeper meaning that you want us to learn? And then oftentimes the homilies are nothing more than breaking open the surface level story to get to what is below. But today Jesus already did that. Like today we get the inside baseball. Like Jesus, after he preaches, after he gives the parable, he goes over with his apostles and he explains what everything he said meant. I'm like, great. I guess I'm done. I'm gonna sit down. We're gonna let her go home early. But seriously, I was praying about, like, Jesus, what do I say? Because, you've already given the meaning of the analogy. You've already kind of broken open the parable. It went from what you said to what you meant. And what the Lord really has been challenging me this week is, that's great. Yep, I told you what I said. Matthew told us that. But then I told you what I meant by what I said. Why don't you tell them what I said means to you? Because there's a very different thing from learning the deeper nugget and then applying it to my life today, 2,000 years after Jesus said it. So what I felt the Lord call me to do this week is to kind of do a little bit of lectio with you and kind of share the fruit of my prayer and invite you to maybe do the same yourself. And I spent this whole week praying with, what in my soul is producing good soil? And where in my soul am I one of the other types of soils? So let's take, for example, in no particular order, like the seed that falls on the path. What the Lord truly has been convicting me of that, and a question I invite you to pray with, is the path, that hard ground, there's nowhere for the seed to take root. There's nowhere for it to actually have any substantial hold in the person's life. So when distraction, anxiety, someone comes by, it just gets blown away so quickly. There's no root. There's nothing below the surface. And it really challenged me to pray with my life, where in my faith, where in my character, where am I surface level or shallow? If someone were to look at my life and look at my day and have no idea what I did for a living, would they be able to tell if I was Catholic? Get rid of the collar on my shirt. If someone were to see how I responded when there was traffic, would they believe that I was Christian? If someone were to see how I responded when someone was getting on my nerves, when there's that really frustrating person at the store, when that person at work that really gets on your nerves is there, and you just roll your eyes at them, would they be able to tell my faith? Is this all surface, what happens right now on Sunday mornings? Or does what I do on Sunday mornings collaborate and corroborate with how I respond when I'm at work and everyone's talking about that one person nobody likes around the water cooler? are really, really convicting questions to pray with. Or let's take the seed that falls in rocky ground. Oftentimes throughout lives, we want to grow in holiness. We want to grow closer to the Lord. We want to have fertile souls for the Word to take flesh and really live out in our lives. But we can allow different sins, different habits, different routines, different things to kind of ferment inside of our souls, which choke out or prevent that seed from growing. I think oftentimes we can harbor lack of forgiveness. We can harbor on anger, hatred, judgment, those people that we can't stand, and it causes these calluses, these stones inside of our souls to start to form, and it doesn't give room for the love of God to actually grow. And it's only by acknowledging and admitting where we've harbored hatred, where we're judgmental, where we are arrogant, where we are self-centered, those things that cause these bastions of hatred to start to calcify within our souls, and acknowledging them and allowing the very love and mercy of God to pulverize those stones of hatred in the confessional, to allow Him to break open those stones within our hearts. It's only by allowing Him to break them open that we'll actually have space in our souls for roots to take flesh. Because if we harbor on that judgment, if we harbor on that hatred, if we kind of enjoy thinking that we're better than that person, well, we are just allowing these stones to continue to grow. Let's take the seed that fell on the soil with the other weeds and the thorns. As Christians today, we do not live in monasteries. We will, right now, we always have, and we always will in the future, live amongst people that are beautiful, loving, joyful, and we will also live around people that get on our nerves, people that tempt us, people that try and lead us away, whether they're intentionally doing it or not. But look at social media, look at entertainment. You just drive down 90 and look at the signs on the side of the road. We are constantly being barraged by things that try and pull us off the right path. We're constantly being inundated by distractions, by different things that try and take over our lives, just like those weeds can take over a garden. And this is something that we need to be very, very clear and honest with ourselves. Because oftentimes the weeds in our life that start to choke out our lives of faith, they aren't necessarily things that are evil in themselves, or at least they don't seem to be at first. But if we're honest with ourselves, and just this is my prayer, to be very honest with you. You're like, for me, at 8 or 9 p.m., when I'm exhausted, when I'm not as, you know, like, on as I am always, it's so easy for me just to flip open the phone and scroll. And that there's nothing evil about just, oh, checking Facebook, let's see what's up with my family. There's nothing evil about that. But if I'm not cautious, that can very easily become a weed that takes up so much room, so much time, so much intentionality. The next thing you know, oh my gosh, it's 10 p.m. Had I just given half of that time to the Lord, or just gone to bed, think of how much more fruitful, how much more productive, how much holier of an evening that would have been. So I invite you to pray with that question yourself. Where does your attention start to grow beyond where it ought to be? Do you give more time to TV, to social media, to sports, to your hobbies than you do to your faith? There's nothing evil with golf, but if golf is taking more of your time than your faith, well, that might start growing to be a weed. That might be taking control of the garden of your soul. So this is my homework for you. I invite you to take this gospel passage. Spend 10 minutes a day throughout this week. Reflect on the different places in your own lives where you can see the different soils start to come about. Or maybe you're tempted to fall in one way or the other. Acknowledge them. Name them. And make a practical plan on how you believe the Lord is calling you to irrigate the soul of your soul. My brothers and sisters, it's not exactly exciting. It's not exactly something that, you know, it's like, oh, I got it. One and done, I have the answer. Just like any garden, it will take time, it will take dedication, and it will take repeated intentional choice. But if we allow the Spirit to work in our souls, I promise you, my brothers and sisters, you will look back on those moments. You will look back on this week so happy you did. And your life, both for yourself and for others, will bear fruit 160 and 30-fold.